think so.
Okay, cool. All right, I have my window open, so. All right, so we're recording now, and we're live. You want to do the intro this time, or you want me to do it?
Go ahead.
Okay. So, everybody, welcome back to the Mind Vector podcast. So, today, which is December 14th, I think, yeah. Today, we're going to be talking about a video that one of the listeners of the podcast, a friend of mine who alpha tested an episode for us, wanted us to discuss. There's a video, we'll link it in the description. It's a video in which someone who identifies as what's called an incel is interviewed. We're also going to be, and just to explain that for those that don't know, incel is like this subculture. It's short for involuntarily celibate. So it's mostly guys because guys have to kind of work for sex, and women can pretty much just point and grunt if they want sex, and guys will figure it out. But if there's, I guess it's not limited to any sex or one or the other. There are women that identify as incels, as not as many, but there's also mostly men. So we're going to be talking about that. We'll also be talking about how politics bleeds into everything now, and how entertainers have political opinions, and if they're actually all that useful. So before we started recording here, we had a kind of a mix up. Anthony Hopkins really he recently gave comments. You were the one who read the article, so you want to go ahead and explain that?
You want to start off with the Hollywood stuff? Well, yeah, he was just basically saying that he doesn't really discuss politics with people in Hollywood because most actors are pretty stupid.
Yeah.
So he's a
so
pretty educated guy, and it's pretty telling that. I mean, he won't go there with them because there's it's like talking to a wall or something.
yeah, and like we spoke about in the pilot episode, most people, if they don't really kind of think about what these laws that they do or don't support would lead to, they it's almost just tribal mudslinging. They don't really think about the effects of what they're saying, and for a lot of people, since everything's a little polarized, it's just pretty popular for actors to essentially just say "Orange Man bad," and if they do that, they get standing applause or whatever.
Yeah, pretty much anything they say is the way I see it is that if Anthony Hopkins is saying that he can't, that no one is really able to discuss with him. Like on a one-on-one basis, it's because they don't know politics. They don't know enough about it to really for him to even bother with it, or but when you do see the people in Hollywood, actors and such, making comments about politics, it's because they've been fed the narrative. It's because they're speaking on behalf of, the powers that be, whoever's sponsoring them, whoever's paying them to do that. They're not, the problem I have with it is that they're not containing their creativity to just the movies, but they're also expanding that to politics and to people in so that people take it as canon. And I think that's very dangerous because these people have other motives. I mean, they get paid for it.
Yeah, it's
So.
definitely it's not a good approach just to hype up people without really any type of explanation. And it might be time for me to close that window. I don't know if that's coming through. But anyway, I guess let me know if it gets too bad and I'll deal with that real quick. Anyway, yeah, so at least in the way I see it is, everybody has a right to their opinion. And some people have said that based on whatever level of exposure you have, you need to be mindful of that, which, there's some truth in that, no doubt. So I really don't mind if a actor, well, I should say to a lesser extent, I'm not going to be as put off by some entertainer that wants to speak out against a specific problem and, you know, engage both sides of people on that issue, like the ones who are for or against or whatever. But I think the whole, like, just coming out and just bashing the president, I think that's kind of it's not all that useful, you know, because we have a government, you know. Trump isn't you know, as some of us on the right would like to say, he's not the God Emperor. He just can't do whatever he wants. We have checks and balances in our government. And yep. That's kind of the crazy thing right now, is that the government's in a situation where it's fighting amongst itself, which for people that aren't really all that into politics, we still have to deal with the government regardless of our feelings. It's like being in a house where mom and dad are fighting all the time. You don't know what the hell, like, you know, who's right about what permissions you have. And, you know, we're kind of seeing that now, that all these different places are becoming sanctuary cities for illegals. And that's kind of a thing that's cropping up on the left. On the right, we have Second Amendment sanctuary cities, which is cropping up. So it's a bit alarming to see that kind of divide happening in the country, where you really won't know which laws are going to be enforced, which, you know, that's not good. That's not stable at all.
So, well, and the whole thing about actors speaking out.
Yeah, I totally went off subject.
Well, that's cool. I mean, it's propaganda, right? Because it's only presenting one side of, it's not even an argument. It's not even a discussion. It's not even a back and forth. It's just fear mongering. And I feel like a lot of people are not very educated on the, you know, on how our government works well enough to not, to see it for propaganda. Which, if you think about it, a lot of stuff is propaganda. Like anything, any form of marketing, you know, to attract people, it's going to, the thing with marketing is that it's going to incite your feelings, right? Yeah,
to agree, not like to everything is always trying to
get, entice you to make a purchase, exactly. Entice you to make a decision. So when I see these things trying to get people, you know, into their flight or fight, people aren't thinking, they're not in their rational minds after that point. So it does fuel a lot of the, you know, the negative feelings and hatred and violence and stuff like that. But I see it as just people not thinking, you know, they're just acting on their fears.
Yeah. And, you know, people tend to have a few things that they specialize in, and that's their field of expertise. And usually when you try to, you know, venture into something that's like uncharted territory for you, you're going to be pretty wobbly in it. Like there was one, I'm not a sports person, I forget the athlete's name, but I think a commentator said something to him like, shut up and dribble.
Heck yeah, yeah. Shut up and do your job. You were paid to do this. You're not, you know.
Yeah, so.
Who are you? What makes you an expert on this?
Yeah, and I mean, like, if you have an actual problem with something, then yeah, talk about it, engage. Mm-hmm. Like, we saw that get popularized in sports because people were doing the whole take a knee thing for police brutality. And I think the same athlete basically said something that was pretty pro-China, so I don't really see the consistency in being heavily against police brutality, but you know China just beating the hell out of Hong Kong right now is you know, that's fair. That I don't get the logic in that. So it's things like that that kind of really, like, put me off a bit when people try to express their opinion boldly. But a lot of it is just kind of like flag waving nowadays, and that's, you know, that's politics bleeding into everything nowadays. We see it in movies too. It seems like some movies that may have a more left leaning message or a right leaning message, people will protest them or, you know, think highly of them. So, you know, like one movie that was actually pretty cool, because a lot of people liked it because it created like a space for you to project your, your views onto, which I guess technically you can project onto anything, so it's not all that meaningful.
But yeah, people are going to read into it what they've already got going on.
Yeah, one that did that in a cool way was the Joker. So a lot of people saw different things in it, and ultimately the takeaway that I think the left and the right were able to settle on is that, oh, it's a movie about mental health. So for the most part, everybody likes the idea of seeing people with mental health issues, which tends to be a lot of people now in our society, do better. But as far as what that actually means to getting them to do better, you know, who knows? And
yeah, I remember there being a little bit of a controversy with that movie even being released, because this whoever screened it or previewed it was thinking that it was going to incite violence.
Yeah, because the last Batman movie, was it the last Batman movie? There was one, it was the one after The Dark Knight. When that opened in Colorado, there was a dude who shot up the theater.
Yep.
Yeah, and he had his hair dyed and everything like that. So everybody, like a bunch of theaters, were just banning people that dressed like the Joker. Which, you know, it's kind of weird because it's like, oh, okay, well, if somebody actually wanted to do something that shitty again, they just don't dress like that and they do it anyway. But, you know.
Yeah.
That's just kind of like some of the fear that rippled out into like a weird way that they were trying to think of preventing it, but it was just kind of attacking a symptom and not an actual problem there.
Yeah, I think the director is a comedy writer, or originally did comedy.
Yeah, I think his name was Todd. Was it Todd Phillips? I don't know. I'm not good with names. But
yeah, he was like he switched the genre because he doesn't feel free to write comedy anymore in today's Hollywood climate.
Yeah.
He can't express his creativity.
Dave Chappelle's
not allowed.
Dave Chappelle's Netflix special. Have you seen that?
I think I've seen a couple of them. Maybe one of them.
Yeah, the
came out like last year. Yeah.
The latest one, he actually spoke out against how crazy things have gotten as far as people just wanting to see someone burn over some mistake they made in the past. So it does kind of suck when you see like some of your favorite celebrities go down, like Louis C.K. Louis C.K. He's still one of my favorite comedians. I really wish Louis would do something, podcast or I hear he still does shows though. That's what Joe Rogan said.
Yeah, he's back. Yeah, he's just not really putting himself out there.
Yeah, so it kind of sucks to see the death of a career over something that's kind of trivial. Like, I don't know, like that whole story, like it would make a pretty funny episode of the Louis show.
Mm.
Like if you ever watched his actual show, you could totally see him thinking, oh, well, this is going well. He gets consent and everything. And then before you know it, he's getting Me Too'd.
Yep.
So
cost him a lot of money.
It did. You know, seeing the sad lesson from that is consent doesn't matter. I'm just kidding. But, yeah, The Joker was a cool movie. Like, they had a couple things that were political, and it's subtle. You just can kind of see how it would play out in real life and then kind of talk about it from there. So I think it had a better approach. Like, you know, a lot of people that are anti-gun, they always say that they want more gun control. They want to keep it out of the hands of people that may be mentally ill. And there's a scene in The Joker where, you know, spoiler alert for those who haven't seen The Joker, because we're going to be talking about The Joker.
Everyone should have seen it by now. It came out 2 months ago.
Definitely
get with it.
It's pretty good.
Pause the podcast. Go see it.
Yeah. And then come back to the podcast.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, there's a scene where the main character, Arthur, which is the Joker's name in the movie, he receives a gun from one of his friends, and his first response is, I'm not supposed to have that, you know, right? So, you know, a lot of good that actually did. And he was still able to kind of do some killing. You know, he could still go out and harm other people once he got that gun. And there's just no way that the government could account for something like that.
And I mean, people who are out to fuck shit up, they don't care about the law anyway. They're not going to follow the law.
Yeah. The law is just there to be like a deterrent. and maybe to give us like some type of structure to do after the crime is committed. Like it's a really, really soft deterrent, because for one, if you can't enforce it, it's not all that useful as a law. And even worse, if it's a law that everybody thinks is unjust or doesn't obey, then it's just an artificial reason to throw people in jail. So not much really good comes out of laws that don't do anything, which, you know, at least from my point of view, I think that laws should really only exist to protect, you know, people from harm, protect their property from theft or harm, and to protect them from fraud. So those are the only, like, things I actually see as real crimes, is if there's a victim created. Everything else to me I consider a fake crime. Another political thing that kind of came up, we were talking about the whole Me Too thing. It's subtle, but Bruce Wayne gets Me Too'd.
He does?
Yeah, in the movie. You remember Arthur's mom thinks that they had this relationship going, and then I think she tried to report it that he did something to her, and, you know, he's like, this woman's crazy, that never happened. So he ends up...
Yeah, she was trying to get child support or something.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a subtle version of it, but that's kind of what that looks like. Because, you know, there's the whole hashtag of believe women, forget due process or whatever, and bring back witch trials, which, you know, I don't think that's a good idea. I think we should have some type of means of determining if an accusation is true or not. We shouldn't just believe people at face value. You know, always think for yourself. But,
well, it goes back to that accountability thing. It's like, how are you going to punish people who haven't done any wrong because of one person?
Yeah.
And if you look at it that way, then you're trying to hold a whole community responsible for one person's crimes.
Yeah, trying to hold an entire demographic responsible for one person's actions, and that's completely unfair, which, you know, is another reason why I hate the whole concept of identity politics. Because all you just have is just group going against group, and a lot of innocent people can get caught up in that, and, you know, there's no good really comes from that. So
I feel like the unstable people like that are just looking, there's so much built up in them that they're just looking for an excuse to just pop off.
Yeah.
They're just looking for a group that will go along with them. Like this other guy that we were talking about from Toronto that ran a bunch of people over because he was part of this online community of incels, and he wanted to take action on their behalf.
Right.
So, but he was just looking for that excuse. But
yeah,
there's no telling what in his life led him up to that. But I don't necessarily believe that he himself believes in the whole incel thing.
Yeah, like, and honestly, you know, I think it's kind of a stretch to call anybody an incel, because, I mean, nowadays, you could just go find a prostitute. So prostitutes are cheap. There's no such thing really as an incel.
Well, you know, you've got your different, you know, you got your tiers and stuff. You know, you can get a high dollar one.
Yeah,
save exactly. up.
So
save some money up.
But, you know, to say you're celibate, no, you're not involuntarily celibate. There's always a cheap enough woman out there. So it depends on your standards. Same thing with women, you know. It's just you have to just pick your poison, basically. So
you just go to the right part of town and...
Yeah, and show some money, and then you're not an incel anymore. And after that, you want something more. But in this video that we actually saw, there were a couple of good points brought up. Because when people hear the term incel... you know, it's been politicized too, which, you know, it's interesting because, you know, males tend to be the one who, you know, impress their will upon the world. So if a bunch of dudes get angry and start wanting to fuck shit up, that's something that the society has to worry about. You know, and who knows, like, you know, I don't know exactly what sexual frustration is. I don't know if that's like a real thing or if it's just people getting frustrated because they're not getting laid. But I don't know, maybe it's like the human equivalent of going into rut, because I know they say, like, some animals, you know, once they're in rut, they just want to start killing stuff. So and then after that, they can mate. So who knows, maybe when men get violent enough and start doing that. That's what it looks like. So, but
yeah, but I think the whole not being able to get laid is just a symptom, right? Because women were attracted to confidence and power
and money
and resources.
Well, resources, yeah.
So if a dude's got none of that, it's just a symptom of their lack of development.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's not just about them not being able to get sex. It's about them not being able to get a job or, you know, have a say in their lives in general.
Yeah, because, I mean, what's...
So they feel disenfranchised and they're just trying to take that power back. At least the ones that commit, you know, heinous crimes.
Yeah, well, that's what I don't get either. I don't understand how the violent thing is actually linked to the incels either, because... I get maybe that, yeah, if the guys are happy or whatever, they won't go out and do, you know, really bad shit like commit a mass shooting or just start running people over. It's another weird thing, too, is because they tend to try to boil these people as misogynists, which that doesn't make sense either, because if you look at the numbers, I'm sure the only people that they're not solely just targeting women and their violence, like the people who are getting shot and run over and stuff, and at least the two... incel crimes I have in mind, there were,
yeah, they're just, they're angry at the world. That too.
Yeah, they're just kind of mad at everybody. It's like, you know, it's kind of why I'm, you know, I guess incel rut is might be a accurate way to describe it. Like, there was another one a few years back. His name was Elliot Rogers, and you know, he was mad at the world because he felt like he was entitled to having somebody. Which, yeah, everybody wants to have, like, a partner, especially, you know, a good partner, quality partner. But if you, you know, like we said before, if you have an attitude of you deserve something, you're going to set yourself up for a lot of suffering. And you're probably going to corrupt the good things in your life that you do have. If, like, it sounds a little pessimistic, but a little optimistic. You know, if you expect nothing, then you'll be really appreciative of what you do have. So I think that sets people up for a better frame of mind.
Yeah, it's that whole entitlement mindset. If they feel like they deserve and they should have a woman and they don't because they're whatever, not able to get one, or, you know, XYZ, not just women, but all these other things. I don't think it's just
that's a good
one.
Question. I don't know if they're gay incels. Like, that's like women, though. I think that's kind of hard to imagine, too, because gay guys kind of, you know, they bang everything. Like, if you don't have women as the filter on sex, guys would just never stop fucking.
So yeah, there's more testosterone in that equation. On both sides.
Yeah, it would just be endless breeding. Like, I think if a lot of guys could suck their own dick, men would evolve to be like roly-polies. They would just never go outside.
So. Yeah. Oh, man.
But, yeah, so in this video we watched about the other incel, the incel interview, the dude brought up something about promiscuity is another problem. Like, I guess they're, you know, and I guess maybe this is kind of like a kind of a political thing, because, you know, obviously conservative, you know, the culturally conservative groups, they don't like promiscuity because it kind of destabilizes the family, and if you got an unstable family, then everything built upon that is going to fall, or it's going to have a very rocky foundation. So
yeah, but it's not just that, because they're still not getting picked by the, if their issue isn't against the promiscuous ones, because a promiscuous one might fuck them, but if she's conservative, she's even less likely to fuck him.
Yeah, that's true, but I guess at the same time, too, even if they're promiscuous, it doesn't really mean that, you know, it won't be like socialist vagina where everybody gets some. it'll be a situation where the girls tend to just kind of bang the same attractive guys. So I guess they tie it, like, the problem that incels tend to talk about is if they just feel like they're unattractive, so they don't have anything to draw them in. But, you know, like we both said earlier, you know, women are still attracted to money, so... if you can't get it organically, you can always get it transactionally. You know, it's the beauty of capitalism. not good for the culture, but
also, if you notice the way he carries himself, he doesn't carry himself confidently. It's like, who's going to be attracted to that?
Yeah. And it's almost kind of like, you know, it's a tragic situation for these guys to get in. I feel bad for them to kind of get stuck there. Because, you know, I guess most guys, they go through it when they're growing up, trying to figure out mating and figure out all that stuff. But
I disagree. They're not stuck. They can change themselves. You know, they can work on themselves. Nobody's stuck in one box. It's just that they've defaulted into that identity.
Yeah.
They're I'm an incel.
And that's what I'm saying.
That's the dangerous thing about that ideology and that community is that they're banding together on that identity. Yeah. When they could, as individuals on their own, work on themselves, maybe get a haircut, maybe get some fucking clothes and shower, you know, and then they might up their game a little bit. You know, they got to have a little swag. Even dudes with no money.
Yeah, they have all the babies.
You have swag, you can get some pussy, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't think they're stuck. I think they're mentally stuck.
When I say stuck, yeah, exactly. When I say stuck, yeah. I mean psychologically stuck. Because I said, realistically, there's no such thing as an incel nowadays. Go on Tinder and just keep swiping. Because after the government started trying to hold websites responsible for prostitution, all these hookers just gravitated to online dating. So that's what guys have to deal with. Like, I know in online dating, girls have to deal with a flood of dick pics and haze or whatever. And for guys, you have to deal with transsexuals, you have to deal with prostitutes and bots. So yeah, just sit around on a dating site long enough and you can find a prostitute.
I would say that they need to get in touch with their sexy side. Yeah, they need to get in touch with their mojo.
Much better answer. Yeah, like there's like that's what they need to be doing. Like that's the ideal way to get out of that mentality.
They need to get out of their little comfort zone, you know, because nobody likes to be shot down. That's not cool.
Yeah.
But I think there's a little bit of that at play. It's fear of failure. Or just failing over and over that they just give up.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was about to get to. I think it's kind of a negative feedback loop. For one, they have a community where they can all feel like there's nothing they can do. So they're all reaffirming their hopelessness.
But if you ever look around, you go to a mall, you see all kinds of people walking around who are obviously fucking because they're holding hands and or sucking face. Yeah. And there's somebody out there for everybody. Trust me. It's like, how does that pairing happen? How does that even happen?
And then
it's like, it just gives you hope.
And then the other part of the negative feedback loop is like the rejection. Like you have to kind of learn how to deal with the rejection. Like, cause yeah, not everybody's going to want to fuck everybody. So it's part of life. You're not going to be great at everything. And you're not going to be great for everybody. So when they get stuck in those rejection pits, it kind of kills their confidence again. And then they seep further and further down. Like if you're psychologically stuck, anything is kind of hard to find your way out of, but it doesn't mean that there's no way out. So
there's always a way out.
Yeah, exactly.
But you got to look for it. You know, if they're just comfortable where they're at, then that's where they're going to be. Nothing changes if nothing changes.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite singers once said in a song, if you don't believe you can find a way out, you become the problem. So that's something to kind of think about there. And that actually happened too in the Joker, because, you know, in the movie, he gets way too into his own head and he's like falling in love with like one girl that was nice to him, which, you know, that's a bad approach. And a lot of guys fall into that when they're younger, trying to learn how to read signals and stuff. It's like, well, I don't know. She said hi. I mean, why did she suck on my dick yet?
Okay, here's another thing I noticed about that that interview, that incel guy. Mm-hmm. He is very intellectually minded. So he is more likely to analyze an interpersonal interaction with a female or whatever you're looking for. whatever his flavor is. But when you overanalyze it, you're not really, you can't get into your mojo. You can't get into your body and your urges. I think there's a disconnect between where their head's at and where their physical desires are.
Yeah, and that helps a lot too when it comes to girls, to learn how to just let loose and get out of your own head. And that's something that
With girls is different. With girls, I mean evolutionarily,
girls is what I'm saying. Go on.
Yeah, but women have to be more careful about their. There's a reason why women have to be careful, because we have more at stake in terms of having sex.
Yeah,
because we will have to
for 9 months.
Carry a baby. We have to feed the baby. You know, all that comes after sex if you make a baby. So the woman's on the hook. The dude can just, you know, go. So there's more risk on there's more benefit to a woman being conservative with her
selections. And even if they're some women, they can't really verbalize it that way, but intuitively they feel it. Like if the guy doesn't make them feel safe, if they don't feel like they can trust them, it's they're not going to be attracted to them. So,
very good point.
It's all evolution just kind of playing out through us. Like our genes are there for a reason, and even if we're not aware of why we do the things we do, you know, those genes are communicating through us. So
yeah, I felt pretty bad for him, because he was pretty convinced that was who he was, and that mindset was going to grow. But I couldn't tell if they could actually see him, or if he was he anonymous to them?
Yeah, there's a
part of the talking through a partition.
Yeah, it was partition. You can see it there, and one of the girls like tries to give him a high five through it.
Uh huh.
So it was a cloth there, so that he could be anonymous, which is kind of pointless because the video goes up on YouTube. So
yeah, they're gonna see it. What the fuck? So. No, but like I think if they would have just had a face-to-face interview like that, I think one of the girls maybe actually said, hey, you're not too bad. I've seen worse looking dudes than you get laid. What's the deal?
Yeah, I'm sure I'm sure a lot of them went in there with like an assumption of how the guy was going to be. Maybe they thought he was going to be bitter or something like that. And that's, you know, that's not always the case with those people in that group. Like,
I have seen like some seriously deformed, unfortunate, you know, disabled, just unfortunate looking people get laid.
Unfortunate looking people.
Like they're actually in a relationship.
Yeah.
So I don't get it. I think that they're just convinced in their own heads that that's who they are. That's what they're going to be.
Yeah, totally. Like seriously, if you feel like all is hopeless, just go get some fucking money, and it's not hopeless anymore. I'm not saying money is happiness, but
he seemed really
it's better
young.
Than going out. It's better than putting yourself in a psychological death spiral where you feel the answer is to go out and shoot people or go out and start running people over. Because that doesn't help anything.
It's like he was very young. He has the rest of his life to get a career, work on himself, make some money, and you know, get married. And he's too young to be thinking that way.
Yeah, and that's another thing too. Like dating gets a lot easier when you get older. Like, you know, like if you get into evolutionary psychology and stuff like that, and see why people make the choices they do when it comes to mating and stuff like that. For guys, it gets better as you get older, and it shifts, because as women get older, you know, it's like they're not as they lose value, and it's such a weird like miss in evolution, because for guys, when they're really young, they have no value, because you have no status, you have no resources, you're not really capable of selling your partner anything other than maybe a dream, or just, you know, if you guys are securing each other, then yeah, you can probably hook up at a young age and make something solid long term. But again, the family structure in the United States, at least the culture, like solid households are kind of on the decline, so not many people really have that anymore. So they really don't know what to look for, and they just end up in a messy cycle of unorganized families, unorganized relationships that are just chaotic. But yeah, I mean, just think about the, I guess at least for the guy case, like when you get older, you can be more deliberate about who you want to be with, and girls can too, especially at a younger age. So,
well, the nice thing about, I guess, for the guy looking, the nice thing about older aging chicks, I guess I should say, not old, you know, but aging out of the reproductive window, yeah, is that they get less picky.
Yeah, that's true.
They get less picky because they're aware that they are on a clock.
Yeah.
So there's more opportunity there. Which the guys aren't picky at all, right? I mean, I don't think they're really picky. Yeah. I think if it breathes and it moves, it's fair game.
And unfortunately, not always breathing and moving.
So there's that.
That's going to be the next thing that's going to kill off a lot of people. Like I was joking earlier about if guys could suck their own dick, they would just never do anything. Like fucking sex.
They never leave the house.
Yeah. Sex dolls. That's, who knows what that's going to, just like suck a lot of people out of the gene pool.
That's the end of a, what do you call it? Family tree. Line.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's going to be GG for a lot of genes once those things start getting realistic. Like if you had an android that could act as like a partner, hell, and if the AI gets better, it can do the things a woman does. Like, unfortunately, a lot of guys are probably going to want that. I'm sure after a while they'll get bored with it though and eventually try to get the real thing, but who knows what
women is
for women. Yeah.
No. There's not going to be much of a market for women. I think porn's always been a market for men. It's always been geared towards men.
You don't think like some type of robot male sex doll would be something that appeals to women?
Well, no, because women can get it anywhere, anytime.
That's true. They won't get the stigma though, because I know like, you know, girls have to kind of worry about being called loose or hookers and everything. So if they don't feel like it's a good investment, they won't do it because they kind of depend on, I don't know, I think that they try to be, since women are more social, they care more about what people around them think.
That's true, but there's ways to go about it without anybody finding out. Like, okay, if a girl went to a coffee shop or, you know, just wherever she happens to be and she saw a guy that she was attracted to, granted, it's women's choice, but if she slipped him her number and said, hey, call me, she'd probably get laid that night.
That's true.
On her terms.
Yeah, I
guess. You know?
Yeah.
And the guy's not going to say no. Unless he's, like, committed.
Yeah, or afraid of STDs.
Morally. Yeah, there's that too.
Yeah, STDs. That's one thing that kind of makes the whole hooker option less appealing than a robot if you want to go down either one of those roads. I would say go with the robot. Probably cheaper and safer.
Yeah.
So.
Don't want to get the herp. But, yeah, I think women don't have a problem getting laid. I don't care how you look. And I think the porn market's always been geared towards men because they also have the resources. They're more likely to spend more money on it.
Yeah.
Whereas women who don't need it as much, they're just going to get over it.
And yeah, they'll just buy like some cheap vibrator and be like, I'm going to focus on my career.
That's so, right. That's right.
Let's see.
But I think Russia, I think I saw recently that Russia's trying to ban porn. Did you see that?
I didn't.
They are. They're trying to ban porn altogether.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I know Russia's like pretty conservative. They,
which if you think about it, is kind of, it's smart because they're not, it's kind of both, right? Because if you take away people's right to destroy themselves, they're not going to develop the skills to, I guess, restrain themselves or correct their own path of destruction, to speak.
It's,
but at the same time, they're trying to spare people the pain that they're seeing in, I guess, the incel community. Like, go meet someone in person was the advice they gave.
It forces people to get away from like means of self gratification. So
and it's convenient too, right? Porn is super convenient.
Yeah, I get the thinking. I don't support the laws because I don't personally think that that's the government's place, but I get the thinking behind wanting to make that as a cultural law.
Yeah, I can see both sides of it.
So,
but people are still going to buy VPNs and fucking
go to porn anyway, unless you know, unless all the
go to town fapping it.
Collaborate to censor the internet. So
yeah, get that good old American porn.
Yeah, and there's that saying that prostitution is like the world's oldest profession. So who knows? Yep. Might just say a rise in that.
Okay, going back to that prostitution being the oldest profession, that links back to Hollywood.
Oh, do tell.
Well, back, I don't know if you've ever watched The Libertine. I think I sent you a trailer a few weeks back.
Yeah, I remember you bringing it up. I'd never seen The Libertine.
Yeah, The Libertine with Johnny Depp. It's a great movie. If anybody is out there wants to watch it, it's great. But it's a little more poetic, and you kind of have to read between the lines to really understand what they're saying because of the language. But yeah, it's like he's a playwright, and so he deals with a lot of actresses at the Playhouse and the theater and stuff like that. And a lot of them, like all of them, it was the Playhouse was synonymous with the whorehouse. That's who they were when they weren't on stage or reciting lines or whatever. They were whores. And then, so there's that same mindset of being open between your legs, as well as being open to being fed lines and being on stage. And like the guys that were going to the whorehouses were well off, you know, they had to have the money to spend to pay them. And then, but they were at the same time, they were writing the plays. So they had this political agenda, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the political agenda would bleed into the plays and the scripts, and the prostitutes were just mouthpieces when they were on stage, and they were ass pieces when they weren't. So, and that's still, I still see that today. That's... Maybe not to that extent as far as the prostitution goes, but they're still prostitutes when it comes to talking on behalf of other people.
Yeah, I can see what you're getting at. It's like you're maybe saying selling your soul is a little strong, but it's not that far off. You sell your image, your body, and everything to promote whatever,
pretty much
whatever idea someone's paying you to. And yep. And that's kind of one of those things when it comes to like why we see so many. Actually, I saw something. Somebody was complaining about the Lion King remake, not because it didn't turn out all that well, but because it was a right-wing movie, which, I mean, it's actually kind of interesting. Like, they did make Scar kind of leftist, you know, he hated the rich, you know, Mufasa had everything, and he just wanted to flip it upside down where all the scavengers were at the top. The hyenas that couldn't, you know, fend for themselves, they just took for the lions or, you know, taxed the lions, whatever that they had to bring back for them to eat.
Mm.
And then even the part with Timon and Pumbaa, like, you know, the religious right, like you have Timon and Pumbaa, like they just were blatantly nihilistic in the new one. And they were kind of shitting on Simba's religious beliefs that Mufasa gave him at a young age. So... Yeah,
I'll have to watch that and see, because Disney's just fucking up. Disney's fucking up so bad.
That was another one. I don't know her name, but the girl from the new Star Wars, she came out and said something about, like, all rational people don't like Trump or something like that. So
like, I think emotional people is more like it.
It's like, this is another one, like, you know, shut up and swing a lightsaber. So,
shut up and use the force if you're so worried about it.
Yeah, well, but the initiation of force is wrong. That's libertarian Star Wars pun. That was awful. But yeah, so movies too, like, they try to push messages now, and it kind of sucks because you don't really feel like you're being entertained anymore. It's always like some form of mind reading. That's another thing that kind of sucks about once you're into politics. It's like no way out of it, because you kind of start seeing it everywhere and you start thinking about, like, I guess what values and stuff the characters have and how would they be or whatever. So
I don't think any of whether it's an actor or a politician, I see them as the same kind of animal.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they're really allowed to speak for themselves, even if they had a differing opinion, because of the people who rule over them. You know, you want to know who rules over you? It's the one that you're not allowed to criticize.
Yeah.
And I don't think they could get out of it if they wanted to. Because they're just that. It's convenient for them to make money. The money's too good. The money's too good. You love money? That's your god. That's what's going to be held over your head. Yeah. That's what's going to keep you where you're at.
That's what you end up selling your soul to. So,
yep.
Which is the, you know, it's a slippery slope. But, yeah, and, like, even Netflix now, like, you sent me the movie the other day. It's like, there used to be an old movie with William Dafoe called The Last Temptation of Christ. And it was supposed to be about, you know, Jesus wrestling with the man half of his nature and then the divine half of his nature. Because, you know, he's like half God and the other half is still wanting to bang Mary Magdalene. So he was kind of dealing with that in the movie. I thought it was an interesting movie. I don't know if I would.
I love William Dafoe.
I would say check it out.
Really good. Yeah.
It's something to think about. But anyway, you sent me something that apparently they're making, what, like Gay Jesus is now on Netflix?
Yep.
What was it called?
I don't remember. It's on there.
Yeah.
I think my husband's mom sent him a screenshot. So it's there. It'll pop up.
I have no idea what that would even be about, but
very strange.
It's 2019 now, so everything has to have a penis or be gay or something.
Yeah.
It's crazy times to live in. So, in other news, North Korea. What was that article I read earlier? Apparently North Korea is...
They're trying to
conduct new tests at Rocket Site. They aim to overpower the U.S. Reuters reports. So, yeah, that's a big move. I remember a while back when North Korea, they were testing their launching system, and they just kept throwing missiles in the coast near Japan, and Japan's like, stop that. Such a dick move.
Stupid. They can't even successfully launch a missile. I don't know what the fuck they're trying to do. They're still trying. You gotta give them props for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're not gonna do shit.
Yeah, hopefully.
They want something. They want something. They're not gonna. They're not gonna shoot themselves in the foot. They just want something.
Okay.
So yeah, what were we talking about?
Unmuting, bringing us back. Yeah. So. I'm trying to remember if there was another article we had here. Yeah, and, you know, Anthony Mackie. I saw a video come up on my YouTube feed recently about, you know, him talking about just the style of movies that won't be made anymore because all of them just have a message now. You won't really have, like, I don't know, like, I thought Forrest Gump was a pretty funny movie. It was a pretty cool movie. Dude just trying to get through his life without getting too swept up in all the nonsense.
That movie political?
Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
It was kind of like The Joker, where it's organic. Like, he stumbles into the hippie times, the Vietnam War.
But he's, like, not even remotely a part of any of it.
He's just average Joe that's, like...
He doesn't know enough to fucking get into any shit, any of it.
Yeah, he was just a good person who didn't overthink anything. He was a simple dude. There's like a scene when they were trying to force desegregation at one of the schools, and some black woman drops her book, and he just runs up and gives her the book and doesn't know like why people are staring at him all weird.
What are you doing?
Like, yeah, this is supposed to be super serial.
Oh my gosh.
But,
that's a shame that we're not gonna, we're seeing kind of a just an end to that era of good movies. I think the last good era of movies was probably, I don't know, the 90s.
Yeah, might be a little biased, but yeah, I thought the 90s, early 2000s had pretty cool movies.
The 80s had some badass movies, and then it just got worse from there. And here we are.
Yeah. Some of the shows, too, like, I totally missed.
SJW Star Wars.
Yeah, Social Justice Wars. Mm-hmm. There's a scene in one of the movies, like, I'm sure they just added that for the Marxists. Like, they have this one planet. Like, that scene added nothing to the movie. Like, they just go there and they free some animals that all these rich people are keeping for entertainment. And it was like some casino planet or something like that. Well, it wasn't a casino planet. It was a casino on some planet that the black dude and the Asian girl go to. But they're gambling or whatever, and they just decide to free them. And I don't know, probably just some Marxist deal.
Hmm. They just wanted to fuck shit up for them.
Yeah. But you know, that's kind of one of the things with the whole Joker movie that at least I kind of saw in it. Because, you know, the whole... You heard about the whole clown world meme?
Clown what?
There's a meme that's a clown world. Basically, we live in a world controlled by clowns. And then you see, like, social justice warriors with purple hair and... and, like...
Pretty much.
Pierced everything. Saying yeah. that the president is mentally unstable.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Yeah, that's where the whole clown world meme comes from. And, you know, I that's what I kept seeing when I was watching the movie, because for no reason, all these clowns are just running around the street getting angry and angrier from what they're seeing on the news, and they just start taking it out on rich people. So, that's at least what I got out of the Joker movie. But I still thought it was pretty cool, and it's subtle enough to where people don't have to read any type of political message in it. You can just kind of take whatever you already bring to the table.
Say no to chaos.
Yeah. There's a, like some of the series, like, you know, Apu from The Simpsons. I don't know if they got to the point where they decided to ban Apu. Because they thought he was like a racial stereotype, but stuff like that.
Oh, the Indian guy, the
Quickie Mart.
Yeah, the Quickie Mart.
Thank you. Come again.
Yeah.
So
they banned him from The Simpsons.
There was a lot of critique about it. Like people were outraged, saying that he's racist now. So I don't know if what they decided to do was just stop showing the episodes or not. I really don't watch TV anymore, so I don't know if there was any result from the outrage or not. Hopefully not, though, because it's The Simpsons. It was just funny. It wasn't trying to push anything on anyone. One show I would really love to see come back would be King of the Hill. Like, nowadays, I think King of the Hill would be pretty hilarious. Because there were a couple episodes where Bobby would come home from school, like, a little loopy because of something that he read, and they gave him some type of white guilt or something. Like that. There was an episode where they were teaching him about... I guess they were teaching about the Native Americans and stuff, and he's like, give John Redcorn back his land. So, yeah, nowadays, you know, they could go crazy with content because there's just so much out there. So.
Yeah, it's funny the things that Hollywood and entertainment industry won't allow anymore, but then you see the opposite end of the spectrum of the shit that they are putting out now, like that gay Jesus thing, and then we canceled our Netflix because I think it was Big Mouth, that new show.
Oh, Big Mouth, yeah.
Yeah. They, in their first episodes, had some weird shit in there, like pedophilic shit.
Yeah, it's no. like... It's,
what?
I won't lie, I think Big Mouth is actually pretty funny, but...
I can see it, but why would you go there with that? That's not...
Yeah, it's kind of uncomfortable.
That's not something you want to fucking normalize.
When I was watching it, I'm like, how the hell did this make it on Netflix? And they actually make a joke about it at the end of the first series. Like, how the hell did we even get this on? Because this is, like, dangerously close to something pretty sick. So
yeah, it's hypocritical as fuck, the shit that they put out there now and the shit that they won't allow anymore.
Yeah, I think they were trying to say Big Mouth was acting as like a new sex education or something. So it's they take that premise of kids being confused about themselves and turn it into a series. But
like I can understand. I don't know. With kids, it's weird because they're so incomplete and they're so little and unformed in their ideas and in their development and everything that you can't. Yeah, you can't just throw shit at them. Like, I'm really careful about what I say, not just cursing, but the way that I express my like or dislike about things. I keep things in a lot because I don't want it to negatively affect their mentality towards life.
Right.
Maybe because I'm a cynical, negative person. But I'm also very careful about what I say because of that. So being aware of that, I'm like, I mean, I know kids are easily influenced by stuff. And I don't feel like they should be influenced too much.
So early. Yeah, because, I mean,
yeah.
With kids, they'll figure it out as they're growing up. And if you get a good relationship with them, they'll stick around close enough to where you can guide them when they have questions. You don't have to try to start... At least when it comes to, like, whatever sexual preference they turn out to have, you don't have to try and inject it into them at such a young age.
Like, yeah, and then you're introducing confusion at an age where they may not even be confused, you know, for the ones that aren't confused, or just to make the ones that are confused comfortable. But when, like, the education system, I have a big problem with it. I'm a homeschooler. And even though I'm on the fence some days and I want to send them to school and just get them out of the house, I'm tempted, but I just don't think that it's going in the right direction anymore because of the whole
just the confusion. Political climate.
The
right
things
now.
That they're teaching now, yeah, they're some schools have started introducing sex ed, I guess.
Yeah, mandatory. It's what they're like California, framing it as. I saw an article that California recently, they're not going to allow kids in public school to opt out of like LGBT education and stuff like that.
In kindergarten, dude. They're putting that shit in kindergarten books. It's not like fifth grade, you know, and above. I think we got sex ed in maybe fifth grade, sixth grade. And, you know, but it was like strictly about anatomy and reproduction, and right. Because there were, I guess, girls were starting to get their periods, and so they needed to educate us on that a little bit. But even still, I think that's a parent's job.
You're not gonna die.
Yeah, that's not the school's business. I mean, if I send my kid to school, I want them to know how to read. I want them to know how to do some basic math. You know, because not every kid needs to learn fucking calculus and shit. If they're not going to use it, if it's not career, their careers aren't oriented towards STEM, then just basic math. Show them how to balance the budget and do their taxes. How about that?
Right.
All this extra shit they're trying to put in, it's like, no.
Yeah, nowadays it's like, I would actually probably prefer that. Like, maybe show them, like, just STEM stuff. The three R's, and maybe just life skills. Teach them how to change a tire, how to, you know, keep up vehicle maintenance, balance their checkbook, don't go into debt, learn how to manage credit cards, that type of stuff. Like, just give them
some
practical
useful shit. Some useful shit.
But nowadays, the curriculum is to teach them that, you know, penises or vaginas, and if you can't use the wrong restroom, you're oppressed, and it's a mess right now. You don't really end up teaching them anything too useful with all the ideology that they're trying to inject into them at such a young age, and that the planet's gonna end in 12 years because of climate change. So,
dude, there's only so many hours in the day, and the school day is already fucking 8 hours long.
Yeah, and
you know,
who was that? Kamala Harris,
Kamala, and I think Warren.
Yeah, she wanted to extend the school day And I think the other one wanted, like, universal daycare. It's like, yeah, just give the government your kids. No, you don't need them. We'll get them all angry at Liberty.
Well, they were trying to appeal to the lower class who needed to work two jobs and needed the child care, right? That was the sales pitch. Yeah. It's there for those who want it. Oh, but the tax money's coming out of everybody's pocket.
Yeah, can we not pay for it if we don't want it?
No. I don't need it. I'm homeschooling my kid. I don't even need public school. Nobody needs public school, really, if you think about it, because just because of the internet and everything being so freely available, if you're looking, but yeah, nobody's looking, right?
Yeah, kids in general, like, they're probably better off nowadays with Khan Academy than going to school and having to deal with, you know, mentally ill kids that may end up shooting them because, you know, the parents aren't around or whatever reason. So, yeah, Khan Academy would probably be a much better place to send your kids than pay all the money to get them to learn about white guilt and industrial racism and all this shit. So
pretty much. Or even the internet. You know, there's a lot of excellent resources online. Educational resources. Ignorance today is a choice.
Yeah.
If you have access to the internet and you're ignorant, that's a choice.
Yeah, if you want to learn something, you can always start searching and then just kind of figure out, make sure you're not getting bad information. That's like the next tier to worry about. And we're approaching the 1 hour mark here.
Woohoo!
So this
that went by super fast.
That one went by quick. Holy crap! So what do you want to do here? You want to go ahead and wrap it up or keep going?
It's whatever. Okay. I think we're still good. We should still be good for another hour before the kids have to go to bed.
Okay. Well, we can probably work on a new episode here. So I guess we'll start off with 1 hour chunks. That sound good?
Yeah.
Just attempt that. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll play it by ear. Okay. Yeah. So we're going to be wrapping up here, and everybody that came back to listen, thanks again. And we're still in the process of getting the bones set up for the podcast so that we can interact with the people that do listen. We will be setting up a Discord where you can leave your comments or Q&As. So I guess if you have any movies that you feel like had a strong message that was kind of ideologically motivated, share it with us in the comments. So everybody that came by, thanks for listening, and we will be back eventually.
Catch you in the next one.